Late Night Live. Ideas and opinions from around the world.
G'day, beloved listeners. Welcome to Late Night Live. We had hoped to get the world's greatest leaker, Daniel Ellsberg, on the program tonight. Yes, I know the Julians put out 250,000 docos, but Ellsberg did the Pentagon Papers personally at immense risk. And boy, did he get into bother. A good American patriot, a conservative, a member of the diplomatic trade who put himself at great risk to help expedite the end of the Vietnam War. Unfortunately, at the last second, he's got a bit crook, although I suspect he's been arrested, a retro arrest to punish him for being such an inspiration to WikiLeaks. I'll be discussing that organisation with Laura Tingle, a little later with John Pilger, and then we're going to talk to Richard Cohen, who's written a fascinating book about the sun in all its aspects, mythological, scientific, etc., etc. But first of all, this is the last week of Late Night Lives, then we go on to the summer series, and I had hoped to be coming back next year to do the 20th. I can't compete with Mr. Hetherington, who kept Mr. Squiggle going for 40 years, but I thought I'd be around for the 20th year. Apparently that's not to be the case, because I'm about to be arrested. Why, I hear you cry? Well, it's all in crikey today. It's a story from England about WikiLeaks. And let me just read you a bit here. Should the Australian government decide it wants to pursue action, other Australians involved with WikiLeaks may well be liable for prosecution. Excuse me. The most prominent of these is Philip Adams, who was or wasn't until recently a member of the advisory board. Given that there is most likely no criminal liability for Assange, there is virtually no possibility that a charge would attach to Adams. However, the proximity of a figure who's been close to key Labor figures for decades, who only resigned his party membership this year, is no doubt embarrassing for the government. Do you think that'll save me? They're coming. I can hear them now. The jackboots are coming down the corridors of power at the ABC, so if I'm terminated, that's the context. Laura Tingle, welcome to your last program for the year.
Thank you, Philip. I'm just baking a cake to put the file in as we speak.
Now, how did you come away from Kevin Rudd's press conference this afternoon, which was sort of wiki leaking?
Oh, look, I think I preferred the WikiLeak version of Kevin Rudd, Philip. I mean, there it all was in splendid glory, Kevin being an expert on China and promising to help Hillary out, offering to send his speech to the Peking University to her to help her understand China, all those sorts of things. There was not one reference to programmatic specificity or any of those sorts of things. It was actually real people talking in completely and utterly pragmatic terms about a problem they both faced.
Do you think that the Beijing will be in conniptions, have the knickers in a twist over the Rudd statements to Clinton?
Well, of course, Philip. If the bugging conspiracies are as great as everybody thinks, including the hacking of computers all around the world, I don't think it'll be a great surprise to the Chinese. And I suspect it's probably not a great surprise to the Chinese. I mean, if there's any brutal realists in the world going back over several thousand years, it's probably the Chinese. So you have to look at this in realistic terms. It's great fun for all of us. It's probably no great sort of revelation to any of the people involved. It's hugely embarrassing, of course, to the people involved who've been quoted. But the question is whether the Chinese or whoever it may be in the coming weeks who find themselves being maligned, if you like, in these cables, it's up to them to decide whether they're going to be incredibly offended about it and take their bat and ball and go home or not. And I suspect because nobody's exactly sure what's going to come up next. They'll probably all just shut up till they find out what's in the 250,000 cables.
Let's look back briefly on the year that was. The Labor Party stuck somewhere between the Coalition and the Greens?
Yeah, the thing that's really weird about Labor, I mean, it hasn't had a good year, but all completely self-inflicted, Philip, whether it's been the decision to dump the ETS, the decision to dump their Prime Minister, the decision to go early to the elections.
Great show of tactical and strategic canniness, though, isn't it?
It's just been one sort of stunning move after another. But I think you had this incredibly defensive political strategy in the Rudd government, sort of is stretching out over all of these disasters into the Gillard government. I think Julia Gillard has recognised that they're going to have to go out and punch a few people on the nose, and part of that is about where they position themselves, whether they see themselves as being hemmed in on the left and the right by the Greens on the one side and the Coalition on the other, or whether, as a lot of cabinet ministers are ending the year saying, look, we can't chase the Greens out to the left. It just won't work for us. What we can do is we can say, for example, on climate change, well, here we are. Here is a proposition about what we can do about climate change, which we can actually get up. The Greens are still talking about something that won't get up. We are being realistic and doing something about this. It's basically selling yourselves as a pragmatic government that is actually getting stuff done, which, of course, is the great story or non-story of the government so far. It's this sort of the eternal search for the doing word, and I think the NBN has helped sort of cut that sort of idea that they never get anything done.
Laura, if brutal realism in effect has been forced on Julia, what program specificity will she have to get stuck into next year?
Oh, dear. Well, everybody keeps saying she needs an agenda. As I think we've discussed before, she doesn't need an agenda. She needs to cut the agenda down and just get some of it through. Things like health and climate change in particular. Everybody's been saying in the wake of the Victorian election, uh-oh, two coalition governments, this is the end of health reform and anything else that requires federal-state cooperation, which is essentially everything these days. I suppose I just make the observation that it's not quite that simple. If you think about it, the argument that Colin Barnett has been having with the federal government over the health reform package has been about goods and services tax revenue, and it's about how much money West Australia gets compared to all the other states. Now, of course, on the other side of that argument is Victoria. So you can't just presume that because you've got two coalition governments, they have a coalition of interests, if you like. They're actually on opposite sides of this argument about how the GST cake should be sliced up.
And the new New South Wales coalition government will probably be like-minded and bloody-minded at the same time.
It's probably going to be much more bloody-minded along the east coast axis, if you like, than it is going to be linked into Western Australia. But you've got to presume that politically the coalition will pressure all of those state governments of a conservative ilk to do everything they can to make Julia Gillard's life a misery.
Now, let's assume the Chinese don't sulk and they continue to buy a few bits of excavated material from us in the coming years. I read today, I forget which paper, whether it was yours or Rupert's, that there's a huge labour shortage of talented and appropriately trained people. Is this something that Gillard is going to have to look at?
Well, I think this is a broad issue that I think you may be referring to a story about the public service, but that's the least of Julia Gillard's problems, frankly. What Cabinet's been really focusing on in the last few weeks is, oh gosh, we've got the Gorgon project, we've got the IMPEX project in Darwin, we've got the Gladstone project. They're looking at a shortage of about 36,000 workers. And while the national accounts last week showed that a lot of the sort of economy that you and I and people who live in metropolitan areas encounter is still quite soft, we've got these huge demands for infrastructure and skills. I mean, a lot of it's the mantra we've heard for years, but it's only going to intensify, and they're going to have to find a way in the short term of finding the people to fill those jobs, which almost invariably is going to mean at least short-term much higher migration, and the whole sort of prism in which they're thinking about things is how do we get people into the country to do these jobs and get them out again, because we're going to come up against this political problem of people seeing population as being a big population as being threatening. So there are really complex issues for both sides of politics about this in the next 12 months. The coalition obviously went very hard against Big Australia, but they are going to be under immense pressure from the business community to make some accommodations to help these short-term labour shortages, and both sides are going to be having to be seen to be doing everything possible to drag people who have been detached from the workforce into the workforce, that those ones who are already here. There's just going to be this huge demand for people to work in these industries.
I don't want you to be burnt at the stake as a witch, Laura, but I want you to look into the future because you're very good at it. Is the incumbent government going to run to a full term?
I think it will, Philip, for the reasons we've discussed over the last rather dramatic few months. The independents' interest is in keeping this government in place and maximising the time they have got to entrench themselves as political forces that will be elected in their own right next time, whether that's Andrew Wilkie or the country independents or the Greens for that matter. They have all got... they've only got a couple of years to say, I'm a very effective independent MP and you should vote for me, whatever the preference flows are next time round.
Laura, this is the last time we'll be talking this year. I'd like to thank you immensely for your efforts on the program. Laura, of course, political editor at the Australian Financial Review, and I hope you'll come back and continue our little dialogue next year. Thanks, Laura. Late Night Live on ABC Radio National, etc. Coming up, John Pilger on WikiLeaks.